Welcome to the Guardians of the Game podcast, presented by the National Association of Basketball Coaches, where we go one-on-one with the top minds in college basketball to learn what makes a coach a coach.
I will say this, the product that we have today, Dave, in terms of players and coaching, I think is as good or probably the best it's ever been.
The NABC Guardians of the Game is proudly supported by Wilson, the official basketball of the NCAA. Now, here's your host, Dave Odom.
Welcome back to the NABC Guardians of the Game podcast. Today's guest is the former head coach at Appalachian State, at Georgia Tech, and at the College of Charleston, Bobby Cremins, my good friend, Bobby Cremins. Everybody's big friend. Everybody's America's guest. Bobby Cremins, we're glad to have you with us, Bobby, and this is going to be our last podcast of the year. It's for the NABC. It's Guardians of the Game, and we want to focus on our conversation today a little bit on your career, but also a little bit about the coaching profession and the game of basketball itself as it's changed. So welcome, Bobby, to NABC Guardians of the Game.
Thank you, Dave. Always good to talk basketball with you. You know, I got to tell you, I thought about you when I heard Virginia lost to Andre Hunter. It reminded me of when you lost Tony Rutland.
Oh, boy.
Right before the Final Four. You and Tim Duncan were going to the Final Four. You beat us in the ACC Championship. You had a heck of a team. And, Dave, as you well know, you got to be lucky. I was lucky to get to the Final Four. We had somebody, a great player, miss a one-on-one. And gave us a chance to shoot an incredible basket. So it's so much luck. But I really feel for Virginia, and it reminded me of a Yorkie injury on your way to the NCAA tournament.
Well, you're very kind. I do think we had the best team that year. The best team doesn't always win. And it seems like every year there is a key injury at this time of the year that has a lot to do with who ends up getting to the Final Four. And even, you know, winning it. So let's hope that DeAndre Hunter, first of all, recovers. I hear it's a three-month recovery period. That's going to be tough for him. But let's also hope that the University of Virginia recovers. Tony Bennett is very deserving as a coach. The team is a great team. Bobby, let's turn just a little bit. Let's track your career. Talk to us. Let's see. You were a great player at South Carolina. He had some great games down there, great tournament, great memories, played with some great people, great head coach. Talk to us a little bit about your high school coming out of New York City to South Carolina, and then, get started with, you were a head coach at, early age, like 26,
yeah,
at Appalachian.
27, yeah. Yeah, well, I grew up in New York, and they had a schoolyard right next to my house. My apartment complex. So I gravitated to that schoolyard, fell in love with the game of basketball, got a scholarship to South Carolina, playing for the great Frank McGuire. I was not a great player. I was a good player, but I played with some great players. I played with Tommy Owens and John Roach. John Roach, to me, has to be one of the five top players ever to play in the ACC. And then, unfortunately, John got hurt in the semis in the ACC tournament in 1970. We were ranked number three in the country, and then we lost in the finals to NC State in double overtime. We finished 25-3, had nowhere to go. I tried to play professionally, Dave, but when the playing door closed, the coaching door opened up. As you alluded to, I was very young. Nobody wanted the Appalachian State job. Coach McGuire had brought me back as a graduate assistant, so I wanted to stay in the South. It was Division I. So I went up there. I went to Boone. My son was born there, and I fell in love with Appalachian. Was there 6 years, and then went on to Georgia Tech, where I really wanted to coach, Dave. I wanted to coach in the ACC. I wanted to coach in the best conference, but more important than that, Dave, I wanted to win an ACC championship as a coach that I lost as a player. So I got my redemption in 1985, thanks to Mark Rice and John Sally. Spent 19 years at Tech. Then I was going to take a year or two off. I came down to Hilton Head, fell in love with it. Next thing I know, it's 6 years. I thought I'd never coach again. And the College of Charleston job opened up. I went there for 6 years and lost three times in the finals, Dave. Once to Stephen Curry. And You know, I'm so glad that Charleston made it this year. I really feel like a burden's been lifted, Dave, off my back to see Charleston go to the tournament. It's been 19 years since the great John Crest took them there. I've been blessed, Dave, like you. We've had great lives. My wife, they took care of our money. And so I live a good life. I do media stuff like you, and I try and stay connected to the game.
Well, you do it very well, Bob. Let's kind of move forward real quick. Couple of stories. You know, the ACC has 15 teams now. That means they got 15 head coaches. When you and I were coaching, originally it was 8 and then 9, and then, of course, it just built from there. I just, I go back to when it was 8. It was a smaller, more compact group. The relationships just seemed to me were different. We fought like crazy when our teams played, but whenever we were off the court, we were buddies. I mean, I remember going to ACC meetings down at Myrtle Beach, and you and I and Les Robinson, Cliff Ellis, and others would walk out onto the beach, and we'd take a walk up to Ocean Annie's and, you know, just tell stories all the way, and fans would come up to us, and we'd high-five them and all. I don't know that they have that now.
It's become a big-time business. If you had told me, first of all, there's going to be 15 teams in the ACC, I would have told you, you know, you need to get drug tested. And then if you had told me that the salaries were going to be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 million, I would have told you, you need to go to a shrink. I mean, the world has changed, Dave. It's changed. And you got to adapt. And Johnny Swafford's had a lot of challenges with conference expansion. He had to take the gloves off and go out and fight for his conference. A lot of it is totally crazy, but it is what it is. I will say this. The product that we have today, Dave, in terms of players and coaching, I think is as good or it's probably the best it's ever been. Our problem right now is off the court. You know, we have a dark cloud over our game right now, and we got to figure out what exactly happened, and we got to clean up the game. We got to get this scandal in the rearview mirror. It's going to take time, but it's a dark cloud right now in our game. March Madness, Dave. You know you'll be in San Antonio with me. There'll be another 75,000 there Saturday, Monday. The money, it's incredible. So it is what it is. You know, we coach in a different era, and it blows my mind to see it all. The only thing that makes me jealous sometimes is when I see Boeheim, Krzyzewski, Cliff Ellis, when I see guys our age out there coaching, I sometimes think that, you know, I shouldn't still be coaching. But, you know, we both had great runs, and, you know, it is what it is today, today's world.
You know, the game has changed. It really has. The game has changed on the court. The game has changed off the court. What is the biggest changes, for instance, media responsibility, social media, you know, tweeting, internet, all of those things. I think they've had a big, big influence on how the game is being, you know, consumed today.
Yeah, I always ignore that stuff, Dave. First of all, you know, my technical skills were very poor, but I stayed away from all that stuff. I tried to coach. I love the game of coaching, and, What has changed, I think? I was worried about the 30-second clock. I was afraid that it would be too much run and shoot. Everybody would be shooting threes and not working the ball inside like you and I used to do. You used to get that ball into Tim Duncan. You know, usually you had to make 6 or 7 passes to set it all up. And now, of course, the most important thing is probably, ball screen defense. But it's still a great, great game. It's exciting. I watched the UCLA last night and St. Bonnie's come back and fight back. What a job Mark Smith has done. And to me, there's still greatness in there. The only thing we got to do, we've got to clean this mess up. Whatever the mess is, we got to get that behind us.
Speaking of the clock, there are other experimental rules. How do you stand on some of the experimental rules that the NIT is using now? Things like the clock is reduced, the three-point line is out, the lane is wider. How do you stand on those things? Those are kind of like international rules that we're testing in under the guise of NIT play.
Yeah, and I think that's a great idea by the NCAA to do the experiment in the NIT. I watched some of the 30-second clock last year. And what I'll do, Dave, that Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday before the Thursday NCAA games, I try and catch some of those NIT games, and I'll watch it. I'll watch the 10-minute quarters. I'll watch the foul situation and see if I can get a feel for it. And then once I watch it, I'll have more to say about it. Right now, I'm not sure until I see it. And right now, my mind right now is just on the NCAA tournament. It's going to be wild.
The NABC is proud to partner with Wilson Sporting Goods. For athletes to perform at their best, they require the best. And for over 100 years, that's what Wilson has delivered. Wilson is not only the best-selling basketball on the market, it is also the official basketball of the NCAA tournament. For more information, visit wilson.com. Bob, if you had one thing to change in college basketball, whether it's a rule, style of play, the way the game is administered, and somebody would give you the opportunity, Bobby, you change this, what would it be?
It's a tough question, Dave.
It is.
The 5-second, I always hated the 5-second call. I just thought they didn't call it until the end of the game. I hated that new timeout rule. Thank God they did away with that rule. Implemented that rule a year or two ago, where you couldn't call, a coach could not call timeout. It was up to the player. I couldn't believe the coaches allowed that thing to pass, but they got it straightened out. Dave, I looked at maybe widening the lane a little bit. I thought about that, and maybe I would look at a little bit of that, but I'd have to think more about that one.
Yeah, I think over the next 5 years, we're going to see the game evolve. I don't know if I like, this is kind of our game. Basketball, it's America's game that we're sharing with the world. I don't want to see us unduly influenced by international basketball. If it's best for us, then let's try it. I think we're doing that with the NIT. I don't like us being copycats as it relates to style of play from the NBA. You mentioned John Roach earlier. I don't know if our listeners, many of them know who he was, but you are dead right. He was one of the great players in ACC history. And there's never been a better pick-and-roll guard than John Roach. Never. Now, he had a great partner, a guy in Tom Owens, who was great at picking and rolling and spacing and catching and delivering and that kind of thing. That pair reminds me of John Stockton and Karl Malone. I mean, do you see kind of a uniqueness there between those two?
Absolutely. Even Matt Farrell and Bonzi Colston reminded me a little bit of those guys. And, of course, Bonzi was out for 15 games, or else Notre Dame would be right in the thick of things. Dave, my number one concern, I want to see this black cloud removed. I want to see the scandal resolved, and it's going to take a lot of time. And I think that's top priority right now in college basketball.
Other than the X's and O's, what do you think is the most important skill set that any head coach needs to possess to be successful?
Well, you know what answer I'm going to give you.
I do.
Point guard play. You know that. I love point guards. They're like the quarterback. They lead you. They guide you. And he was always my coach on the court. And, that was a very important player for me. And sometimes, I had to really work with some point guards, to make them make sure they had peripheral vision, not tunnel vision. But to me, it all starts with the point guard.
If you went beyond the court, how about managing your time? How about managing the staff? How about managing the alumni, managing the media? Those are all skill sets as well.
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. When we coached, we didn't have dead periods or quiet periods, and we were always on the road, trying to recruit a player. And sometimes that caused us to be an absentee father or husband. But I tell every coach today, take Sunday off, get away from it. But you mentioned the key thing, Dave, that's really come up a lot is assistant coaches, your staff. When you see all the problems we have, when you see Hall of Fame coaches get in trouble, it comes down to the staff, who they hired. And then they get caught up in head coaching responsibility. A prime example would be Rick Pitino. You know, he says, you know, and I believe him, Dave, he had nothing to do with the, you know, the prostitutes in the dorm, but his, you know, his one of his assistants had a lot to do with it. So you better believe it. You better have a handle on your staff. You better have the staff in the palm of your hand and make sure that any violations occur on by their own actions, that they're going to be dealt with severely.
Bob, you've had a number of assistant coaches, great assistant coaches. I mean, I think about George Felton and guys that you've had, Eddie Payne. You've had great assistants. How did you help bring them along to the point they were ready to become assistant coaches? I mean, head coaches,
well,
excuse me.
Well, you know, Kevin Cantwell, you know, you got to give them some responsibilities. Perry Clark, you know, you just can't make them just plain recruiters. You just can't make them just sit on the sidelines all the time. You got to, I used to divide things up, you know, offense, defense, special situations, pressing, you know, offense against pressure. And I would try and, you know, talk to my staff and see what their specialty was and what they really wanted to teach out of bounds plays. And I used to try and break it up like that and give them on-court responsibilities to make them feel like they would definitely coach them also.
You mentioned early on that you played for a great coach in Frank McGuire. And I know Frank McGuire loved his players and he helped them in every single way. And you probably had maybe a high school coach who helped you along the way when you were playing street ball up in New York City. Why is it important, Bob, that head coaches today help these young coaches? You know, the game of basketball was handed to you and I, our generation, in pretty good shape. And I'd like to think when we got out of it that we hand it to the next generation as well. I've got a son. You've got a nephew that are coaching, and I want the game of basketball to be in good shape when they can when they assume control. Is that important to you?
Absolutely, no question about it. And that's why I want to see this cloud removed. It starts with leadership, Dave, and you got to have leadership at the top. But I agree with you. We were, you know, at one time, you know, we were guardians of the game. We are no longer guardians of the game. We're on the outside now. We're not on the front line. But we love the game. It's made us what we are today. And I definitely want to see it continue to be great.
If you had the ability to do this, you look back on your career, and if you had the ability to send a message back to yourself as you started out as a young coach at Appalachian, what would you tell yourself then? Be sure to what?
Oh, Dave. Oh, boy. Well, I would probably say the number one thing, be more balanced. You know, when I got in the league, you know, it was Jimmy Valvano, Mike Krzyzewski, and myself. We were the three young guns. And the most balanced of the three of us, Dave, without a doubt, was Mike Krzyzewski. And I think you got to have balance. And sometimes I didn't have that balance that I should have had.
And that would include, obviously, your wife and
yes. Absolutely. Family responsibility, number one. You know, you've got to be balanced. You cannot be consumed by this thing. You see a coach like Tony Bennett. You see a coach like, the Boston Celtics coach when he was at Butler. You see some of these coaches who are so smart today. The one thing I can tell right away is they have great balance in their lives. And I think it's very important that you have balance in your life if you're going to be part of this business.
Well, Bob, I know you're on a short leash today, and we're going to get you out of here. But, you know, each week on the podcast, I try to close with a discussion on why it's important for coaches to give back to the game. We've touched on that a little bit. But as our title indicates, we are guardians of the game. And the whole idea behind this podcast is to get out a message to our young coaches that are listening that we have a responsibility to the game. You got to be good to the game. You got to be true to the game. You can't cheat the game. If you do, it comes back on you. So I give you one last shot at talking about what the game is like and what it's meant to you and, you know, the contribution that you've made and how you'd like to see it evolve from here.
Yeah, well, Dave, you know, my number one accomplishment is that I succeeded in my parents' dream. They came from Ireland, and they wanted to see their parents, their children, live the American dream. And I lived the American dream for two main reasons. Number one, my parents, their sacrifice they made coming from a foreign country to America. And then the second thing is the game of basketball. And because of my parents and the game of basketball, I lived the American dream. So I owe this game a lot, and I'm willing to help back in any way I can.
I want to say to all of our listeners, this is, I think, our 12th or 13th podcast, and we've gotten great feedback, and we've had some great guests, beginning with the great Tom Izzo to begin, and the great Bobby Cremins to finish it up, and a lot of great ones in between. And we've had a lot of good feedback from people that have tried to be diligent in listening to the podcast each and every week. And I want to thank the people for tuning in to the NABC Guardians of the Game podcast, and also to you, Bobby Cremins. You are a champion, buddy. You're my buddy, and you're my champion, and we thank you for taking the time to be with us here for a few minutes. And for those that are listening, to learn more about the NABC, they should visit the NABC.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at NABC1927. Thanks again for listening, and enjoy the Final Four.
The NABC Guardians of the Game is proudly supported by Wilson, the official basketball of the NCAA.